Welcome to this deep dive into a really pivotal case, Safe Extensions, Inc. v. FAA. If you're navigating the intricacies of administrative law, maybe, you know, the APA and judicial review, this decision offers some crucial insights into when and how federal agency actions can be challenged.
Exactly. What seems like, you know, a rather specific issue, the way runway light bases are tested, actually opens up a much broader understanding of the fundamental principles that, well, govern how agencies operate and the limits on their authority. We'll be looking at why the FAA's testing requirements for these light bases landed them in court and what the judges ultimately concluded. It kind of boils down to a tale of two types of light bases, adjustable and fixed.
Okay, so let's get right to the heart of it. The big question we're unpacking today is this. Why did the FAA decide that adjustable runway light bases needed to pass a tougher torque test than the fixed ones? And maybe more importantly, what was it about that decision that the court found so problematic, legally speaking?
Yeah, what was the flaw?
Right. We've gathered a solid set of materials to guide us, including some podcast-specific insights, a detailed case brief, and the actual legal brief from Safe Extensions v. FAA. So you should have a pretty clear picture by the end of this.
So let's start by setting the scene on the runway. Can you describe what these torque tests involve and why they're even a concern for safety?
Sure. Think about a runway. It endures a lot of force, right? You got massive planes landing, heavy snowplows doing their work, stuff like that. Torque tests are basically there to make sure these light bases can withstand that pressure, specifically how much rotational force they can handle before they, well, fail. It's a fundamental safety measure. Now, Safe Extensions was a company that manufactured adjustable light bases.
Okay, and just to clarify, these adjustable bases have a different design compared to the fixed ones, right? What's the key difference there?
Right. So fixed bases essentially use stacked extensions to reach the necessary height, whereas the adjustable ones use threaded mechanisms. Now, this difference is where the FAA's advisory circulars come in, AC-42D and later AC-42E. These circulars introduced a freestanding torque test requirement that applied only to the adjustable bases. Fixed bases, they got to pass.
And what's fascinating here and really a key point of contention was the FAA's reasoning. They argued that adjustable bases were inherently riskier because they relied on chemical bonds in their construction. And these bonds, they claimed, were susceptible to failure under real-world stresses.
But here's where it gets really interesting for anyone interested in administrative law. Despite this assertion about the supposed risks of chemical bonds and adjustable bases, the FAA had a critical failing. They presented, like, no concrete data to support this claim.
Yeah.
Zero. No studies, no incident reports, no actual evidence whatsoever. This lack of evidentiary backing is really the crux of the legal challenge that followed. So for you listening, remember this point. Agency assertions without evidence are, well, legally vulnerable.
Which leads us directly to the legal arena. Safe Extensions, quite understandably, decided to sue the FAA. But the first hurdle they faced was establishing jurisdiction. The FAA argued that these advisory circulars didn't qualify as final orders under the relevant statute, 49 U.S.C. Section 46110, and therefore weren't subject to judicial review.
So the FAA's argument was basically, hey, these are just recommendations, not binding rules, so you can't bring a lawsuit against us over them. But the court didn't quite see it that way, did they? Can you break down the court's reasoning on this jurisdictional issue?
Yeah, the key here is the court's understanding of legal consequences. While an advisory circular isn't a formal regulation with, you know, the full force of law, the court recognized that these circulars could still have a very real and binding effect in practice. In this specific case, airports, being understandably cautious when it comes to safety regs, were highly unlikely to purchase runway light bases that didn't comply with the FAA's recommendations, even if those recommendations were technically labeled as advisory. And this is crucial. Without a final agency action, the courts generally don't have the authority to even hear the case. So Safe Extensions had to convince the court that these advisory circulars, despite their name, were effectively final. As the court famously stated, legal consequences matter more than labels.
Right, that quote.
This principle that the practical impact of an agency action can outweigh its formal designation is a vital takeaway for anyone studying administrative law.
So even though it wasn't a law written in black and white, the real-world effect on the market was pretty much the same as if it were mandatory.
Precisely. It really underscores that administrative law isn't just about the formal titles of agency actions, but about their tangible impact on regulated parties.
Wasn't there also a question about whether Safe Extensions filed their lawsuit within the allowed time frame? I seem to remember something about timeliness.
That's right, yeah. Generally, there's a limited window to challenge an agency action. However, the court actually made an exception in this instance because the FAA had repeatedly indicated that these advisory circulars were subject to ongoing revisions. This created a degree of uncertainty and, well, the expectation of potential changes down the line.
So the FAA kind of created their own problem there.
You could argue that. It illustrates a practical aspect of dealing with agencies. When they keep shifting the landscape, it can affect the timelines for legal challenges.
Okay, so Safe Extensions successfully navigated the jurisdictional challenge. Now we arrive at the core of the case. Why did the court ultimately rule against the FAA? This brings us to the crucial concept of arbitrary and capricious review under the Administrative Procedure Act.
Exactly. Section 706 of the APA prohibits agency actions that are found to be arbitrary, capricious, and abuse of discretion, or otherwise not in accordance with the law. The arbitrary and capricious standard essentially requires agencies to have a rational basis for their decisions, and that basis must be supported by what's known as substantial evidence.
Okay, substantial evidence.
This is basically the part of the law that says, hey, federal agencies, you can't just make stuff up. You need a good reason and, you know, evidence to back up your decisions.
Got it. So what specific reasons did the FAA actually offer for treating these adjustable bases differently? And why did the court find those reasons to be, well, insufficient under this standard?
So the FAA presented three main justifications. First, they cited their extensive experience with fixed bases, suggesting this experience demonstrated that fixed bases were inherently safer. Second, they asserted that fixed bases possessed inherent anti-rotational features that adjustable bases lacked. And third, they pointed to field reports that allegedly indicated problems with adjustable bases in real-world use.
Okay, let's break those down one by one. What was the court's response to the FAA's claim based on their experience with fixed bases? That sounds a bit vague.
It was, and the court's response was quite direct. Where's the proofs? The FAA failed to provide any actual data demonstrating that fixed bases had a superior safety record or were less prone to failure under comparable conditions. Simply stating they had experience wasn't a substitute for presenting concrete evidence.
Just saying we know best isn't enough.
Pretty much. So the key insight here for you listening is that agency experience without actual concrete data carries very little weight in judicial review. Remember that for your APA studies.
And what about this assertion regarding anti-rotational features in fixed bases? That sounds maybe a bit more technical.
It does sound technical, but the court swiftly dismissed it. It turned out that this claim was solely based on a single unsupported statement from one FAA employee.
Just one person.
Yep. There were no technical documents, no engineering analyses, no objective evidence whatsoever to substantiate this claim. So, yeah, just one person's say-so wasn't nearly enough to justify a completely different regulatory approach.
Wow. Okay. And finally, the FAA's reliance on field reports about adjustable bases. Wait, field reports. You'd think that real-world reports might actually carry some weight. What did the court find there?
You would think so, but the court found this justification to be equally unconvincing. And why? Because the industry itself, the very companies that manufactured and installed these adjustable bases, submitted formal comments that directly contradicted the FAA's claims about widespread problems in the field.
So the people actually using them disagree.
Exactly. The agency's assertion was directly refuted by the practical experience of those working with the product day in and day out.
What's striking is the strong language the court used, right? They didn't really hold back in their assessment of the FAA's reasoning.
Absolutely not. The court didn't mince words, describing the FAA's justification as the very definition of arbitrary. That's a powerful indictment coming from a judicial body. The fundamental principle at play here is that an agency can't simply say, trust us. They have a responsibility to demonstrate the rationale behind their decisions with solid, factual evidence.
And it's also significant that the court found the FAA's justification insufficient, even when considering Chevron deference. You know, the principle that generally gives agencies considerable leeway in interpreting ambiguous statutes. So even though courts usually give agencies some breathing room when interpreting laws, that wasn't the case here.
Exactly right. Chevron deference isn't a blank check for agencies. They still need to provide a reasoned explanation for their actions. Think of it like this. Chevron says the agency might get the benefit of the doubt on a close call in interpreting the rules. But if the agency's explanation is completely illogical or, like here, unsupported by evidence, sort of like trying to say apples or oranges without any reason, then Chevron doesn't apply.
It doesn't save them.
No. As the court clearly stated in this case, an agency's unsupported assertion is substantial evidence. That's a really, really key principle to remember.
It really seems to come down to a basic point of logic, doesn't it? I mean, both types of light bases, adjustable and fixed, are going to be subjected to similar environmental stresses out there on the runway. Therefore, to impose a significantly stricter test on one type without a clear, evidence-based reason just doesn't seem to hold up.
Precisely. The different testing requirements lacked a rational connection to the actual real-world conditions and the stresses the light bases would inevitably face. It just didn't make sense based on the facts presented.
So for our listeners, especially those of you who are law students, what are the key takeaways from the Safe Extensions case? What kind of precedent does it really establish?
Okay, well, firstly, this case strongly reinforces that courts will closely examine agency decisions that treat similarly situated parties or products differently if those distinctions aren't supported by adequate evidence. You can't just draw lines without showing a legitimate evidence-based reason for doing so.
Fair treatment matters.
Absolutely. Secondly, it reaffirms a broad understanding of what constitutes final agency action. Remember, it's not solely about the formal label the agency slaps on its pronouncement, but also about its practical and binding impact on the regulated community. For those of you maybe studying for your administrative law exam, definitely pay close attention to how the court defines substantial evidence here, and understand that this concept of final agency action is something you'll see pop up again and again in administrative law.
And for the law students specifically, this case really underscores some foundational principles of the Administrative Procedure Act, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When you're analyzing regulations that impose different requirements on seemingly similar things, the critical question you should always, always ask is, where's the data? A lack of evidence is a huge red flag and often forms the basis for a successful claim that the agency action was arbitrary and capricious.
Find the evidence gap.
Exactly. Also, it's important to remember that while agencies possess expertise in their respective fields, and we respect that, that expertise doesn't excuse them from the fundamental requirement of making decisions that are based on evidence and reasoned analysis. Expertise isn't magic.
Let's maybe revisit some of those critical nuances, just to ensure they really stick with our listeners. What are the things we absolutely need to underline?
Certainly. It's worth emphasizing again that even though the FAA designated these documents as advisory circulars, they exerted a very real binding influence on the market. Airports simply weren't willing to risk using non-compliant products. That practical effect was key.
The label didn't match the reality.
Right. Also, it's crucial to contrast the FAA's weak, you know, conclusory statements just saying things with the APA's actual demand for factual support. Merely asserting something to be true is not the same as substantiating it with evidence. And as we've discussed, the lack of a rational basis for the FAA's distinction, given the similar real-world conditions faced by both types of light bases, was absolutely central to the court's decision.
And it's important for our listeners not to oversimplify this situation, right? It wasn't just a straightforward case of, say, big government versus small business or something like that.
That's absolutely correct. The core issue wasn't about the size of the players, but the FAA's fundamental failure to provide a reasoned and evidence-based justification for its differential treatment. And again, it's also vital to remember that while Chevron deference is an important principle in administrative law, it doesn't grant agencies unlimited authority to act without a rational foundation. There are still limits.
Okay, so to bring our deep dive into Safe Extensions v. FAA to a close, we've really highlighted the critical importance of substantial evidence in agency decision-making. We've examined how the definition of final agency action can extend beyond formal labels to encompass practical realities. And we've explored the core tenets of arbitrary and capricious review under the APA, emphasizing the necessity for agencies to provide reasoned and evidence-backed justifications for their actions, particularly when making distinctions between seemingly similar things.
Yeah, this case really underscores the vital role that the courts play in ensuring that federal agencies adhere to these fundamental principles of administrative law and are ultimately held accountable for the decisions they make. It's about checks and balances.
Exactly. And with that in mind, here's maybe a final thought for you, our listeners, to ponder. We've seen how the principle of evidence-based decision-making is essential in the realm of federal regulations. But how might this same principle be relevant in other areas of law and regulation? What broader implications might arise when any authorities make rules or take actions without a solid foundation of data?
That's a great question.
And maybe think about how legal professionals, whether they become future judges, practicing attorneys, or policy advisors, can contribute to ensuring that agencies are consistently held accountable to this crucial standard. It's definitely a question worth exploring further as you continue your legal studies and think about the bigger picture.